Take two. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome back to the all-new edition of the Turin Giants podcast. I believe this is episode number 245, of course, season 10. My name is Farhad. I'm the host that loves you most, and I'm joined here by my two good friends, Rav, who's been on a hot streak with us.
Hey, buddy.
What's up, buddy? Velvety voice Brit from across the pond. And we have our friend, Kevin Mack, our correspondent, straight from Turin. Kevin, how's life?
How's it going, guys? Life is good. It's busy. It's good.
And you're across the pond as well. I'm the only one in a good US of A. So good to have you. You're not a regular, but it's always a pleasure to hear your breakdown and you as a man who actually goes and watches the games of our favorite team. We value your opinion and your view from the stadium. Follow us at Juve Podcast on X. Follow us on Instagram at Turin Giants. Instagram has been hot. I feel like our Instagram is fun for people because it's actually like communication with the admin. I put a lot of work into it. Nilesh does a lot of reels. So if you want to like communicate and have fun, have a little, you know, lighthearted Juve discussion, please hop on Instagram at Turin Giants. It's always fun to talk with our listeners or just followers. A lot of them don't even know we have a podcast. And by the way, speaking of that, thank you to everyone for leaving us the top, the 5-star reviews on Spotify. It's never asked for, but it's always appreciated. Before we start, let's see what we're going to talk about today, boys. So like I mentioned, we're going to hear Kevin's thoughts on situation at Juve straight from the source in Turin. He will let us know about, you know, his thoughts about the game against Milan. He actually was at the game. Rav's news desk. I'm still looking for a cool name for your segment, Rav. I'm not a big fan of Rav's desk, news desk. Or some news roundup, basically, from Rav. He runs a popular website, footitalia.com, which is open in front of me. We're going to reference it today. So Rav will give us top 5, top 6 stories of the day, which is always nice to catch up with the news. We're going to talk about the interest of Juve in Mason Greenwood, which is, I'm sure, you know, as a podcast, we're responsible for discussing even controversial topics, it's not that controversial, but we'll give our thoughts on him and Juve's interest. Buffon released a really interesting interview. Again, footitalia.com has it at your disposal. We'll go through a couple of quotes and discuss them. And I wanted to bring up a topic. A question for the boys to see if Juve can still lose the top 5 position. We'll hear your guys' thoughts about that. Shall we begin?
Buongiorno, buongiorno.
Let's do it.
Buongiorno, 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 buongiorno. Come ha detto lei, buongiorno, buongiorno.
Love it. Always, boy. And girls, by the way, 1% of the, I checked the stats, 1% of our listeners are women. So we welcome you guys and we take pride in that 1%. You guys are maybe 1% for the first time in your life. Rav, I this is not Juve related, but I wanted to thank you for introducing me to a podcast. I think on the last episode of our podcast, you mentioned the podcast called Rewatchables, basically a group of people discussing greatest films in history, and I'm hooked. Episode 1, Forrest Gump, I'm hooked.
it's so good that they have covered so many different films, so many different genres. There's like, you know, like nostalgia for us older people. There's the newer stuff. It's fantastic. It's really,
I know, great. You're a movie. There's people who love movies. That's me, but I'm not a movie buff. But you consider yourself a movie buff?
Yeah. I outside of Juve, music and books, film just occupies a big part of my life. So I watch a lot of films.
You know, Rav is serious when he posts pictures of black and white Japanese movies from like the 60s. that is a whole different level of movie love, of love for films. That's when you hit that. Am I a bad person or I just love movies? People start disliking you when you bring up black and white Japanese movies, but of course we love you.
Thanks, man.
We should do a limited edition Turin Giants podcast movies edition. Like, do a top 10 of Ralph's favorite movies, and see if people want to hear.
Yeah.
Maybe our listeners want to hear more about your other interests other than Juve, right?
If anyone's interested, you know, I'm in, definitely.
Yeah, that'd be awesome, boys. Where do we start, Kevin? Welcome back, yes, buddy.
Thank you. Good to be here.
So, season ticket holder, you go to almost every home game. Love it. You have amazing seats. You are the man who provides us with great content for our Instagram page at Turin Giants. Always fun to see. Like after the game, you know, when Kevin tells me, okay, I'm taking over Instagram now, we give the okay. And then when I see like 100 dots on top of the screen after the game is over, you know it was a good game. You do everything from walking into the stadium to warm-ups and pictures and videos of Kurva Sud. So thank you. Your content is really well manicured.
You're welcome.
I'm really impressed every week. And you give your post-game thoughts, which is always cool, right?
Yeah, and maybe we'll actually start there with the post-game thoughts. I mean, the first half, generally, I felt was kind of more of the same. This kind of Corto Muso approach.
So we're talking about Juve Milan last, you know.
Yeah, Juve Milan, yeah. Yeah,
not a firecracker of the game, but you said that first half was kind of slow.
Yeah, it was. I mean, just what we've been used to since like we fell off a cliff at the end of January, and just slow, uninspiring, which was really disappointing given that Milan was starting with a makeshift back line, right? I mean, you had Teo, Tomori, and Calabria all suspended from the Milan derby and all the red cards that showed up there at the end. And you had Yunus Musa, the young American who's a midfielder, playing right back. Right? It was just – it was an opportunity to go after it. Goalkeeper – I think starting goalkeeper Maignan got hurt in warmups, right? And that's why Sportiello was between the sticks. So like just not going after it was irritating. But then substitutions in the second half, after Milik and Chiesa came on, the game changed. The last 20, 25 minutes, I think the exact words I said on the Instagram wrap-up was like, dare I say it was entertaining. And we had some chances. Chiesa looked inspiring, but we just really struggled with the final ball, and finishing was really poor. Some woodwork opportunities. I think the goalkeeper saved one off of his face. just some poor finishing.
Well, I'm looking at.
Look, I think this is a game that. Go ahead. Sorry.
Sorry, just real quick, I'm looking at FotMob.com. Their ratings are, you know, Yildiz is 6.4. Kostic, man, keeps sliding down. 6.1 for Kostic, 5.6 for Vlahovic.
Szczesny,
yeah, Vlahovic. Man, Vlahovic is dipping. I don't know what's going on, but you were saying, I apologize.
I don't even know where I was.
Sorry. I know people are yelling at me right now. I apologize. But Rob, any thoughts on the game?
I think Kevin kind of made the most pertinent point, I think, which is that they were there for the taking. We're in Turin. There's a little bit of momentum after the Coppa Italia game and making it to the final.
Yeah.
We've got a fully fit squad. And I'm not saying they're there for the taking, but we've always had a really good track record against Milan, especially in Turin. But it was just so, like, everything, it's like we said last time, so slow. Everything was just kind of overthought. There's no quick passing. Just a gaping hole, like a chasm in midfield. The midfield is so, so bad. I'm sorry. I'm not sorry. They're dreadful. Chiesa was kind of like the bright spark. Aside from that, I think we sort of mentioned it before, but Cambiasa, I think, kind of came out with a bit of credibility out of that game, but not many other Juve players did. It was just such a chore. And I really expected that it's second versus third. I know the title race is over and done with. There's still something to play for. And it was just, it's like they didn't really rise to the occasion. And
I think Allegri's in their heads. I think morally, team is really low. You can put whatever you want on your social media, you know, try to portray a team as this Forza Ragazzi type of deal. But I don't think anyone is as excited to be there anymore for the rest of the season. And too bad, because we need to win out. Actually, something I wanted to bring up. Let me bring the table back. You know, someone on Reddit mentioned that, do you think Juve can still slip and, you know, miss out on the Champions League, which is, you know, below Roma? Roma in fifth, Bologna in fourth. You guys think there's any possibility? Juve have 65 points, Roma in fifth have 59. So 6 points separating. Roma will play, I feel like, you're playing in Rome. Roma needs to win. Mm-hmm. So what are the big chances we're going to win, right?
The scary scenario for us, mm-hmm, is if we get no points from the matches against Bologna and Roma. Yeah. And if we lose those 6 points, we have to win, no questions asked, against Salernitana and Monza. And yeah, so Monza has, like, they've played so well against us since coming back up. And, like, that's not a guaranteed 3 points.
It's May 5th, Roma, Juventus in Rome. May 12th, Juventus, Salernitana. Then Atalanta, Juve, that's Coppa Italia. May 19th, Sunday, Bologna, Juventus. You know Bologna is going to play their hearts out. Just like Roma, you know, how unfortunate, right? What are the crazy turn of events? Because in the beginning of the season, you would look at the schedule. Oh, we're playing Bologna May 19th. Easy 3 points, right? And all of a sudden, we're fighting for our lives here.
I feel like the Salernitana game should be, I don't want to jinx this, I'm going to touch wood, but I feel like that should be straightforward given that they're relegated. But even then, you know, they might just come to Turin and sort of play for pride, and it's like a little trophy they can take back down to Serie B. And Monza, I think, I'm pretty sure they're mathematically safe, so they shouldn't really have anything to play for. But I think we kind of lucked out, because Roma have kind of dropped off a little bit. They had a draw at the weekend. I think they drew or lost the weekend before. Bologna.
They drew, and Bologna drew as well. So we kind of dodged the bullet there with a 0-0 against Milan, right?
That's it. And I think Bologna have, I think they've only won one game in the last four. Like, they drew against Frosinone, they drew against Monza, they drew against Udinese. So when they really kind of had us in their sights, they've kind of dropped off a little bit. So maybe we're going to luck out. But I don't feel like we're going to drop out of the top five. I think we're almost there in terms of Champions League. But
but can you imagine if that happens? I think that would be more embarrassing than anything. I mean, it would be a slow embarrassment, as opposed to maybe like losing a game here and there. That would be the ultimate. I'm not laughing because I want it to happen. I just, if that happens, that would be the perfect ending to the season.
The most Allegri thing that could happen, and Rav, keep me honest here, if Roma doesn't finish top five, mm-hmm, but wins the Europa League.
Yeah,
we end up getting like six spots, and it would just like be crazy if Juve picked up the sixth spot and Allegri declaring success in that.
It's like a big American flag
top
behind
four.
Him. Mission accomplished, like George Bush.
The Champions League.
It would just be the weirdest thing for us to kind of get to like near the end of the season, and then we're kind of in this precarious situation, and then you've got like Atalanta or Roma in the Europa League final, and we're like cheering for one of those two teams to win because we need to get that sixth place. But God willing, that does not happen.
Speaking of games in Turin, Kevin, I wanted to ask you, what was the most exciting game this season that you visited, but which had the most buzz around town, and afterwards maybe celebrations or something?
You know, I haven't witnessed a game since living here, and I've been here about 2.5 years now, where there's crazy celebrations throughout Torino. It's just not that kind of city. Mm-hmm. And I think that's also why like players love being here, because they can kind of blend in. They can have a nice family lifestyle, and they're not like surrounded. Like you see like Osimhen walking out in Napoli, and he like can't walk around just because he's like totally mobbed by everybody. Like mm-hmm. I've seen Juve players in the street, and like a couple people come up and ask for pictures, but that's about it. Anyway, I think the top games, it's kind of a combination of two. It was that like 1-2 punch in early January of those Coppa Italia matches, with we beat Salernitana 6-1 and Frosinone 4-0, and like we made it to the winter break, start January fresh, scored something like it was 10 goals over those two games, and those games were just like 2 weeks apart.
Where do you think our 0-0 is coming from? We shot our wad with a goal, so there's an account that's going on.
That was a blast. Those two games, that was just from this season on whole, those were absolutely the most fun matches. And I've never seen that many goals scored by Juve, let alone in person. So that was pretty wild. The best Serie A game, I think, was I forget which match day it was, but it was against Lazio when Dusan had the double, and McKennie had that cross from the midfield, yep. And he had that amazing control work. And that was a really fun game where it just seemed like we were clicking, a lot of team chemistry.
I think that was the first.
The atmosphere was pretty decent.
Yeah, I think that was one of the first games when Curva got back together, and Curva Sud got, you know, was allowed to be loud again, right? It was one of those return games for them, homecoming.
It was. I think it started with the first game of the season was against Bologna, and we had that 1-1 tie, and it was not allowed to be back yet. I forget exactly which match. No, the first match it was formally back was the Derby della Mole, which was after the Lazio match, but it had started building back up around that time after roughly almost 5 or 6 years of Curva Sud being subdued a bit.
Yeah, you mentioned
Vlaovic. We have a few minutes to talk about that.
Of course, man. Floor is yours. Yeah.
So I think, and this was actually really cool to see the renaissance of this. And like I had a personal experience in 2018 coming to Turin kind of on a whim to watch two matches. And I saw Juve Milan, and that was the game that Bonucci kind of scored and did his kind of face thing. And then we ended up winning, I think, 3-1. And then the game later that week was against Real Madrid when Ronaldo had the overhead kick. And the stadium atmosphere was pretty amazing in both of those games. I mean, even though we got spanked by Real Madrid, we still had what we used to know as the amazing environment that was in the Allianz or J Stadium at the time, I think. Shortly thereafter, there was an arrest of 12 ultra leaders. They were making illegal demands for additional tickets to be sold in the black market. So a little bit of extortion. It's like, hey, we're going to give the environment and orchestrate everything and give you the environment that you need. In return, you're going to help us make some money. And our good old friends at the Turin prosecutor's office brought these charges against these 12 leaders. And I believe there were other charges of kind of organized crime, looking at extortion, money laundering, other violent acts, and following that, heavy restrictions were placed on the entire curva sud, and the removal of banners, flags, drums, megaphones, anything orchestrated. I mean, obviously, the poor behavior and criminal activity of a select few ended up hurting everybody. I mean, 98% of the people sitting there, 99% are just good Juve fans like the three of us, right? And are yeah. the folks listening to us. And they just have a high level of passion, and it's a way to support the team with the songs and celebrating and dancing and being with people who care. So a select few really hurt this. And I think a lot of people started hating against Juve management, specifically Agnelli, during this time for not doing anything about it. And I think what people overlook oftentimes is that there are three legs to this. There's the ultras, there's Juve management, and then there's the authorities. And this wasn't just Agnelli being like bullheaded or being stubborn about this. There was a lot of pressure from local government to ensure that this was enforced and that this would be under control. And there's this other weird element that I don't have all of the background, and I've only heard this from a few local people. And I don't know if this is like urban legend or there's truth in this.
We'll believe it.
You know, it's Italy, right? So you look in Curva Sud and in any area where there's ultras across Italy, there's always lines of police, right? Like in the aisles and trying to protect in case anything crazy happens. So supposedly these are staffed by like local government, and they're all like police officers from the south with loyalty towards Napoli. And so there's a lot of reports of people getting fined or kicked out for doing stuff that would be fine in literally any other stadium across Italy. So there's this concern also about like the enforcement of things and bringing stuff back. It's just going to create additional issues. But earlier this season, there was this fan-led group and movement called Mille Bandiere Bianconere. You may have seen this, like some of the listeners may have seen this on Instagram. It was picked up by Tutto Sport. A lot of people were putting it on social media. It was a fan-led group. Actually, around Turin and Maurizio were a part of that. And other groups that sponsored this fan-led thing of bring small flags into the stadium. Nothing controversial. Homemade flags, no logos, no political statements, nothing. Black and white flags to support Juventus. And Juventus picked up on it. And at the first game, they had like little flags in the stands for people. And I don't know how much the TV captures like the intro to the match, but the song that's played as the players kind of walk out before the Serie A anthem, there's these giant flags getting waved on the field by, I don't know, people Juventus hire as they play one of the Juve songs. And like that was inspired by this fan-led group. And then slowly but surely, like the new Juve board, and I think with some help with Allegri, really started embracing this, worked with local authority, and opened it up again. So you can hear this.
Don't they play Thunderstruck?
Yeah, when they come out for warm-ups. Yeah.
Do they play the banjo version like here?
You better believe it.
I found the banjo version. Since we cannot play the original, I figured we'd.
There we go. I was caught in the middle of the railroad track. That's bad.
That's a tough lesson.
Oh my God.
So that's essentially it. I mean, it's not what it totally was. You still don't see banners representing the specific kind of factions or groups within the ultras and Curva Sud, like Viking, like Nucleo. Yeah. You don't see that. They're not allowed to. And at a certain point in the season, like there was a protest and they weren't doing any chants in the first half because they wanted the banners brought back, but then they stopped. Like there is always something to complain about, but it's so much better than it was. And it's grateful to have that back within the stadium experience.
Yeah. Well, Agnelli is historically close to Florentino Perez, who's, you know, Real Madrid's president, who actually are playing at the moment. Sorry, poor timing, if you wanted to watch. But, I mean, that's what they did eventually at Real Madrid, which, you know, their ultra section now looks so weird and unintimidating. It's just like white shirts behind a goal. And I get it, that's their color, but, you know, you can't help but think Agnelli got that idea from Perez, who, you know, essentially got rid of all the bad seeds and, you know, behind the goal. And now, like I said, it's just, you know, dudes in white t-shirts. I'm sure there's still, you know, diehard fans, but it doesn't look too fun.
I think, sorry, I was just going to say real quick, but I think Agnelli has always been, as much as people are really critical of him, but I think he's always kind of been one step ahead. Like, since he came in, he wanted Juve to have their own stadium, the new HQ, the women's team, second team. He knew about moving the team into like Asia in terms of sponsorship and getting more viewing figures out there. And he wanted to get rid of the ultra. Well, I don't think he wanted to get rid of them, but he wanted to curb what they do because he's got like kind of like an anglicized view of what football should be, perhaps. And he's seen how it's changed, especially in the Premier League. And he knows that that's the biggest, you know, sort of competition. And I think he had the right ideas. I just don't know about the execution. So, mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think that's fair.
I don't know if it's...
Hold on, I was looking for...
So good. All I was going to say was that I don't know if we'll ever be able to like compete with, you know, the Premier League or the Real Madrid or Barcelona or whatever, but you know, it kind of felt like we were taking the right steps at a certain point, and then somewhere the path kind of got a bit like muddled or whatever. So I don't know, we'll see what happens.
All right, moving on. Let's dedicate a couple of minutes to something. It's not really controversial, like I mentioned, but something worth discussing. Mason Greenwood, I don't know if you heard the story. A couple of years ago, there was tapes that came out of him. I don't even know what language I'm supposed to use. Not that he's going to sue a small-sized Juventus podcast, but basically, you know,
say allegedly and you're good.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Allegedly there was, you know, rape allegations. He was caught on audio, and then his girlfriend, who, you know, went to the police, she dropped the case. Let me just read this. So the prosecutors drop Manchester United footballer Mason Greenwood, where is he on loan right now? I want to say
in La Liga. I think he's at, is it Getafe?
Getafe, I think so. He's no longer facing criminal proceedings over attempted rape after prosecutors dropped the case. The Crown Prosecution Service said there was no longer a realistic prospect of conviction. A short statement released on his behalf, Greenwood said, "I am relieved that this matter is now over, and I would like to thank my family, loved ones, and family and friends for their support. There will be no further comment at this time." There's a lot to read. I think if you know the situation, you might, you know, read and study it a little bit or whatever. But I wanted to ask you guys if it's a smart decision. What do you think about Juve's direct interest in the 22-year-old player? Real quickly, we're not going to spend, you know, too much time on him. Just a couple of thoughts. I figured we'd mention him.
Keep him far away. Keep him as far away as humanly possible. I have a very strong opinion on this. I won't like get too, too expletive or whatever, but just keep him far away from Juventus. That That guy is, yeah, just keep him away. That's all I got to say about it. He does not belong to play for Juventus. We've had enough problems in the last 12 months in terms of like controversy. We don't need that. Just keep him far, far away.
But Kevin,
not Juve character. Yeah, I there's not much I can say above what Rob said. My boo in the opening when you mentioned his name was directed at this. Not right for our club. No appetite for that. Just there's other talent out there. Why?
Yeah, well, that was my point when I thought about it today. I was like, is he that good? You're willing to sacrifice, you know, terrible PR. You know, it's not even about people online and making jokes to rivals and blah blah blah. It will just be distraction. And you know, tell me a 22-year-old is so amazing. You need him so much, especially like I saw. No, that's about a different player. But basically, are you willing to sacrifice Giuntoli? That's going to be your first move, your first big move.
I think he had like a really quick rise at Manchester United. He was he was being talked about a lot as like an academy player. Came into the first team. Was super good.
We should definitely mention his talents. Great player. I hope he, you know, I hope the justice was served. We'll never know. I hope he learned something. He's still young, 22-year-old. Obviously, there's no excuse for any of that. I have zero tolerance for, you know.
That's the biggest problem.
April is. I don't know about you guys, but in the U.S., it's you know, sexual assault awareness month, and that's, I don't fuck with that. I hope he learned something as a person, but you don't want to get mixed up. And you know,
there were too many people making apologies for his behavior, and if you're a basic functioning human, you know what is wrong and what is right. You can't make excuses for certain behavior, so you know, I say, keep him far away.
Yeah, strange. It was kind of weird to read. I don't have much to say. I feel like we covered it well. FootItalia.com is the best website for your calcio needs. Great Thanks. Layout. Great font. I should mention the font. And the text that
a lot
that
of work
font is
that.
Written. Please check out footitalia.com. It's, you know, it's always stays on my tabs, open in my tabs. Rav, any people interested in writing position on your website? You know, the famous $100,000 salary and plus dental. Not
sadly not. As soon as they kind of realized that there was no dental, that there wasn't even $10,000, they all got real upset.
You get 2 weeks paid vacation as well. But anyways, one of the things that I wanted to mention on the website today is check out Buffon's interview. The tagline is, I was close to joining Roma on two occasions. And he goes into his life after Juve. You know, I wanted to mention his what he calls sliding door of his career. In 2001, from Parma, I was close to joining Roma. It was a matter of details, then also with Barcelona. In the end, however, I went to Juventus. Then in 2005, there was a great foreign club that wanted me, but I didn't consider it. After the World Cup, I could have gone anywhere. In 2007, there was at least two Italian teams. And in 2011, I was going back to Roma because something had broken with Juve. Montelli called me. I liked it. But then Conte arrived and imposed my presence. When I returned from PSG to Juve, I was about to go to Porto. I had already seen the flights, the city. And twice more, I was close to Atalanta. The second time I was already decided, but since Juventus knows me like the back of their hand, they held a meeting with me, Paratici, Pirlo, and Pirlo told me, Gigi, damn, it's the first year I'm coaching. I came knowing you would be here. And Buffon says, what could I tell him? So he stayed.
That guy and his love for Juve is, that's a beautiful thing, man.
he's always such a fun interview. He uses words like you don't really see footballers use. I've always had affinity for you know, intellectuals as, you know, footballers. Like my mom would always tell me, because I idolized players as a kid, you know, like an 8-year-old kid, 10-year-old kid or whatever. Oh my God. Mom was like, you know what they were doing instead of studying and reading books? They were playing football. So they're not that smart. So I really appreciate if a footballer, you know, has an interesting point of view. I've mentioned Pirlo's book. It's a quick read, but very interesting. Tells a story about his life. I hope Pirlo would come out with more books. This one was, you know, kind of short, read in a couple of days, but it was really interesting. I don't know if you guys remember the bald-headed player on Juve, Rav Lombardo or Lombardi. What was it?
From the 90s?
Yes, like a cue head bald. He has some hair on the sides.
Attila Lombardo.
Well, there you go. Such a badass name as well, Attila. I remember him. Great. I remember he was one of the Juve players that was supposed to be like super smart. So, anyways, go read Buffon's interview.
Strange, yeah. Sorry.
I always feel bad for younger men who just, you know, man, I'm not going to go into that. But yeah, he was a really interesting man. Rav, let me find a sound effect while you prepare your new story here.
Just no banjos.
Rav, since you are the head honcho over there at fooditalia.com, hit us with some news, buddy.
Okay. I mean, there are actually some interesting stories. I won't go into too much detail, but the first one that I wanted to pick up on was Di Marzio, everyone knows who he is. He is the sort of the transfer news specialist. And he was basically saying earlier this week that it doesn't look like Allegri is staying. And I think we've heard that from lots of other people, but not from him. And he's kind of big and he's kind of reputable. And he basically said, as far as he knows, Juve are going after Thiago Motta. So that was definitely interesting. The other stories are basically from the last couple of days. We had Juve meeting with the mother of Adrian Rabiot. Apparently just a very brief meeting to kind of understand what is happening in terms of his contract and his desire to renew. But apparently he's dragging his feet and Juve just kind of waiting to see what he has to say. The other really interesting
it doesn't pass the smell test with me. He's not a player that he should be negotiating, especially if we're trying to rebuild.
It's such a weird thing, because I posted something earlier today, and it was that on this really good stats website called whoscored.com, they have their Serie A team of the year up to date, and there's only one Juve player in there, and it is, of course, Adrian Rabiot, which I can't understand. I just don't get that. But
really, were we that bad?
It just blows my mind. He had
let me pull up that website. We'll talk about it by the end of your news, right?
Yeah, for sure. The other news story that was kind of breaking today was that a lot of Juventus fans have signed a petition. I think the last time I checked, it was over 3,000. And they want to have Juan Cuadrado's shirt removed from the Juventus Museum. And this is because he celebrated during the Inter title celebrations. He specifically celebrated when they were singing that famous chant of Chino Salta Bianconero. People are not happy with Juan Cuadrado right now. We're also in talks with the Monza goalkeeper, Di Gregorio. And that seems to be progressing. I think, by all accounts, we're kind of already approaching the finishing line with him.
What do you think about that? Because goalkeeper at Juve is such an important position. So we got Chesney. Any news on him?
It's still kind of up in the air about his renewal. I think his contract runs out next summer. I think, is it 2025? So they're kind of thinking about bringing Di Gregorio in, and then I think maybe they let Perrin go and have him as kind of an understudy for a year, and then Chesney leaves and we have, I don't know, someone else come in to play understudy. So yeah, we'll see how that goes. But it definitely seems like he's a player that we're pretty close to signing by all accounts. So.
Di Gregorio looks like he is straight out of the pages of like a Roman tales book. He looks like an ancient Roman statue.
Amen.
It's a good move. I mean, Chesney's paid a lot.
Yeah.
Like, and I think when we look at the finances, it makes a lot of sense. I think Perrine's wants to start. You bring him in as an understudy to Chesney. Perrine moves on. You don't renew Chesney, and Di Gregorio steps up. Makes sense.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think Kevin nailed it. It's like a huge, it's a pretty big salary if we
12 million euros per year.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you have the opportunity to sign a young goalkeeper, I know when I posted the news on Twitter, a lot of people were like, there's so many other positions that we need to strengthen. But, you know, if you get a good goalkeeper and you get him at a cheap price and you've got two, you know, relatively old goalkeepers, then, you know, what's the big deal?
Yeah, I love it.
In terms of news, that is pretty much it in terms of like actual news. There's a lot of transfer rumors and stuff like that, but we'll leave that.
This has been Rav's news whimsical desk.
Can I ask Rav a question?
Obviously. Sure, man.
Yeah, of course.
Do you actually think Thiago Motta's coming? Oh. If you were a betting man, like red or black.
I've really tried to be super methodical about this. Like, I'm following the news really closely. I'm seeing who is saying that he is coming, who is saying that they're in talks, who is saying, you know, like Allegri's leaving, like the different stages. And the only people that have really committed to him, to saying that he's coming, is I think it's Nicola Schira and Daniele Longo. And they are kind of like middle of the ground kind of journalists. They're pretty good, don't get me wrong. They're reasonably reliable, but I'm waiting for Fabrizio Romano, for Romeo Gresti, for the big guns to kind of come out. When that happens, then I would put my, you know, put my mortgage on it. But right now I would say, I think he's about 70. I'm about 70% convinced that he's coming. I'm not 100%.
Were you Momblano now?
Breaking out the percentage.
You already got a percentage guy.
the only thing that I am sure of, and I'm pretty damn sure of this, is that Allegri is leaving. That much I'm like 99.9% convinced.
See, I'm not convinced. And that's why I ask, right? Because is talking with like local, like some of the friends I've come to gain here in Turin, who go to the match and I meet up with them, they seem convinced that Allegri's going to be here for his final year.
Oh,
and that the 20 million payout that we're going to have to do to pay off Allegri and all of his staff is not something the management's going to want to do. And they've built up in their head that if Bologna qualifies for the Champions League, Malta's going to want to see that through and do a one-year renewal to see what that experience is like. And then work to have him at the end of... At the end of Allegri's final year, and just with our cash strap situation, like all the things that we're doing this year and qualifying for the Club World Cup, the Champions League, the new Supercopa setup, like that's not money in the bank. Yeah. Like that's not cash in hand right now. So I don't know. They just could be really conservative in their thought approach, but it's just interesting
that's
to
wild.
Hear that.
That's
a
wild.
Quick question for you, Kevin. Like, because in the stadium, they were talking about how the ultras were kind of coming out in support of Allegri, and then you had...
They love Allegri. They love him.
So, like, is the vibe with the kind of... with the everyday kind of match-going spectator who isn't an ultra, are they all kind of like, yeah, Allegri needs to go, and then the ultras are all like, yeah, we need to keep Allegri? Is it that kind of...
Exactly. That's exactly it. So, they do their... Massimiliano Allegri, song, and then he waves up at them, and they clap back at him, and they did that this weekend, and the ultras were getting whistled and jeered when they started singing the song for him.
Do you know, like, just is there a reason why they are so much in his corner?
I think it's two reasons. I think there's a ton of respect for what he did in his first 5 years. Just the trophy winning haul, and they won't forget about that. And I think it's also the level-headedness that he's had with the shambles that our management has gone through over the last couple of years. maintaining the club and not letting it go into free fall last year.
I mean, we all appreciate that.
Yeah, but I think he's also had a voice in the ultras getting a voice back in the stadium. And I think that's a part of it.
Maybe they just, you know, as a face of the fans, maybe they go, you know, support the team no matter what. I don't know, because I can't see that.
Did you see the banner they held up before the match?
Yeah, I can't remember what it
said. They had this huge long banner outside the stadium saying that we want a leg. I don't remember verbatim what it was, but something to the effect of, we want to go to the Club World Cup with you, Allegri. Well, which would mean you would need to sign a renewal, because I think the Club World Cup is after
2025. Like,
not only do we not get Allegri out, we get an extension. That is 2025 bingo. I've never heard.
The one thing I was gonna say when we talked about Milan, but like, I had this kind of weird revelation. Like, I said to myself, I'm always kind of trying to like tweet about the game and write player ratings and watch the game. I was like, screw it, I'm just going to watch this game. I'm going to pay attention. And the overwhelming thing that I felt more than at any other point this season was that these players, a lot of them, are just not good enough. And I don't think it's down to coaching. And I don't think it's down to what happens in training. And I don't think it's down to psychology or the management or anything. I just had this realization, like, and I've said it at the start of the season, I thought, no, give them another chance. But it just felt like, yeah, they're just, it's, this is not all on Allegri. And I know that, like, Twitter will have you believe otherwise, but it's not the case.
Yeah, I've been saying
that. But there's a impact of bringing somebody new in. I mean, just look at the De Rossi Mourinho situation. They're a completely different team with him on the bench. And I think if you have somebody, it inspires a reaction in something new. I agree with you, Rav. My personal opinion is, you keep Yildiz, you keep Cambiasso. If you stick with the back three, you keep Bremer. But otherwise, everybody's up for sale, in my opinion. I mean, I'd love to see Chiesa and Vlahovic, but with their expenses and what we could get for them in our financial situation. I mean, I may even throw Soule in there. Like, Soule, Yildiz, Cambiasso, everyone else is up for grabs.
Yeah. I think we definitely need to change coach. I will put that out 100% for exactly the reasons that Kevin said. I think a new manager can inspire maybe something more, but yeah, just seeing the
there's this young Frenchman that everyone wants, Zidane. I don't know how to pronounce it. He has a funny first name too.
Yeah,
but he has to come with a truck full of cash.
Yeah.
Well, if you give a truck full of cash to Allegri, I feel like he can, you know, Kevin brought up a few podcasts ago. We read your WhatsApp message and, you know, discussed that. Allegri is a good manager. He's not a good coach. Or was it? I apologize.
That's it. I just think he needs good players and he can get people to play in his roles and just manage situations, as opposed to getting deep into tactics and making players get better and building out this approach the way that you see, like, Conte, for example, like, really getting into it in those first couple years. I wouldn't want Zidane right now. I think it'd be a huge, huge waste of money. No, he hasn't proven that he can work and inspire and grow, like, younger players and get talent. Like, that team that he had was out of this world,
I could have coached.
He managed those personalities incredibly well to make it a functioning unit. But I don't think we have the team or the resources that would be worth the paycheck we'd have to write Zidane.
I think we need a Conte-esque, you know, like, someone who's going to come back and kind of go, look, this is
your But play. Not Conte. Done with that season.
Exactly. 100%. Not Conte. No, thank you.
Yeah, no thank you. Way. He'll hit a wall, and then there's...
He won't get what he wants.
Excuses.
Yeah, exactly.
A couple of notes, just to follow up. Kevin mentioned something about Juve being a quiet town where players love to play and not be bothered by, you know, fans and stuff. So true. When you walk through Turin, like, you would think it would be Juve flags everywhere, always, all the time. But, like, you... you would think it's not a town with a world famous team, because there's, you know, I rarely saw any flags, rarely saw any people wearing jerseys. Maybe like, you know, tourists were 99% of those people who wore jerseys. But you're so right. Like, it's such a, you know, beautiful little town. Well, it's not little, it's a big town, but it has a small town feel. Everyone's very pleasant. But yeah, you're right. I can see people being so polite to let, you know, players walk around and enjoy their lives. And I actually really enjoyed that about Turin, because it doesn't, like, it's not all about Juve. It's its own town, which I love. And then, did you guys know that, you know, Rob brought up whoscored.com, their team of the season. Di Gregorio is the keeper of the year.
Mm-hmm. Which is another reason why we should jump in there and get him. Yeah.
Yeah, Teo Hernandez, left back. There's four Inter players. Sule, look at that. Matias Sule, 7.1. What do you guys think about his return? Because I'm excited.
I'm going to say something really bad, but I think they'll probably sell him in the summer. I think someone will come in for like
$30 million
or something. I'm sorry, man. I'm just being honest. Like, I just get that feeling. But if a new coach comes in and says, hang on, that young Argentine kid, let's keep him, who knows?
But I have this like dream of us rocking a 4-2-3-1 next year. And you have, I mean, assuming you keep a Vlahovic, or even if you just go to Milik and cash in on Vlahovic, having a front trio supporting him of Chiesa, Yildiz, and Sule, and having like a really stellar double pivot behind him. I think if you keep Locatelli, which I don't think anybody's buying him off of us, he functions better in a double pivot. Like, he's not a regista. He's shown that the defensive side of his game is decent. But the forward passing creativity is clearly not there. But if we're able to go to a 4-2-3-1, then Bremer, I think, is on the table then, just because I don't think he thrives in a back four. It becomes more easy, I think, to cash in on him to a Manchester United if you shift to a back four away from a back three. But I think Chiesa, Yildiz, and Sule would be pretty amazing. I don't know if I'm high or if that's a reality, but
I would love to see that. I really would, but I just have this very kind of cynical approach in terms of, you know, like Juve farming all these youngsters out on loan, and then they, you know, they kind of, their value goes up and they think, ah, okay, well, you know what, this is going to fund.
Pure profit. Pure profit. If they get an offer for 40 million from like Brighton or
for who?
West Ham, they'll take it.
For anyone. For Sule. But also for Dean Huijsen as well. I think they're talking about all the teams that are linked with him. And again, this
Borussia Dortmund, I think I saw recently.
Yeah, that's it. And it goes back to the whole Agnelli thing. You know, start a second team, get these players for nothing. You sell them on for 30, 40 million to, you know, stupid Premier League teams every summer, and you're kind of set to an extent. So, yeah, there's something to it, I think. Yeah.
All right. Well done, boys and girls. We shall go out on top.
Oh, wow.
Thank you so much for joining us, boys and girls. Rob, Kevin. Kevin's been a long time. So happy to have you back with us. May 5th, famous date in Juve history. I cannot talk over music. I just learned that I'm stumbling over my words. I just wanted
you
to thank everyone.
Get into the song.
Man, I'm so distracted by the dulcet tones of this banjo. But I appreciate you guys. Kevin, I think I'll be in Turin for, you know, next year. After the winter break, I it's been a while. I think we're gonna finally meet, brother. Rav,
make it happen.
Rav, pull up, buddy. Let's make a reunion happen. Well, the reunion we've never met, but that would be nice.
Definitely, I would love to do that.
Thank you, boys. Enjoy your day, boys and girls. Check on your friends. Stay hydrated, and Forza Juve.
Went down the highway.
was shaking at the knees. Could I come again, please? Yeah, the ladies were too kind. You've been Thunderfrog.